You know, Christy and I came here in early 2000s, maybe 02, maybe 03, I really can't remember, 01. It's been a long time ago, and when we first, we tried out a few churches here and there, you know, big churches, small churches, you know, we were trying to find the right place, and we were invited, Christy was invited for a women's book study, and we came in and started coming to church, and you know, when we first started coming, all I could hear was, you know, that's the Jacks and the Adams and the Adairs, you know, that's their church, you're the only other bloodline in that church. And it's true that a lot of people here are kin, but this church never felt more like home than when we started coming here. And that speaks a lot to this church and the things we've been able to experience and the friendships we've been able to build over the past 17 years that we've been here have meant a lot to us. And at no time have we ever felt like we've been a different bloodline than everybody else. We've been accepted into the family and we've enjoyed it ever since, and we'd rather be no other place, and this is home to us. And we had Reverend Adams for a long time, and now we have Doc who goes gallivanting every now and then, and today's one of those days, and we're honored to have Stephen Evans here and his wife Holly. And Stephen, I think Stephen's been here a couple of times before and shared the word of God with us, and we're delighted to have him here today. And I'm going to hand the floor over to him now, and appreciate you being here today, and you'll have our attention, that's for sure.
Well, I'm grateful to be here again today. I always enjoy coming down to Leesville Southern Methodist Church to share, and I appreciate y'all having me again. And I will just add one small comment to what you said, and I really appreciated the message for the kids, because it means a lot to think about training your children to know Christ, and also to have fellowship in the church and in their home church. But and a lot of the churches are like that. You know, you have a lot of core families that are there, but there is one blood relation we all have, and that's in the blood of Christ. And we're all redeemed children of the Lord, and that's a bond that ties us together closer than anything else ever will, even closer than family. So I just wanted to make a comment. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Awesome to see. So today, if you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And you can just go and start flipping there. So over the past year or two, I've really grown more interest in a specific sport that I kind of watched on ESPN every now and then when I was a kid, but sort of grew a new appreciation for it, and that's World's Strongest Man. I don't know if any of you all have ever watched that or know what I'm talking about, but it's a competition they have every year, and the guys that compete in it, they do different smaller competitions, but they basically perform different feats of strength. And some of the lifts they do are traditional weightlifting type things. Some of them are more unusual. They have a thing they call Atlas stones. It's just a giant stone that they pick up, and they see how fast they can pick up, how heavy of a stone they can pick up. And these are very, very strong people, hence the name World's Strongest Man, right? And there's a guy that lives in Colorado that is probably one of the best at it in the world right now. His name is Brian Shaw. And I like watching his YouTube channel, watching him train and work out. This is a really huge, strong man, and all of them are, but he's one of the best. I think he's about 6'8". Probably weighs 400 something pounds, about 420 or something like that. He's not fat, he's big. And saw a video the other day where he deadlifted something like 1,031 pounds, I think. So it's pretty serious stuff. Their training is very serious too. And so if you kind of follow him, you'll see that especially him, everything he does is geared towards getting stronger, getting better at what he does. Not only just his workouts, but his sleeping routine, his recovery, down to his diet. You know, he's very focused. And maybe this is one reason why I like the sport so much. He eats a lot. I mean, a ridiculous amount of food. I saw a video on his YouTube channel where he talked about that. He probably eats about 6 pounds of red meat every day. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like every meal, he said, well, it's time to cook another meal. He gets a a pound of like ground bison or something, and that's like one meal's worth of meat. It's ridiculous. But he does what he does so he can get better. He's focused. And I thought about how that could apply to my life as a Christian. What am I doing every day to become more like Christ? Is this something I work at, or is this something I'm passive in? And it's even different when we think about a relationship with Jesus, because we're not trying to make ourselves better necessarily, but we're trying to become more like someone else. Because the goal, really, if you read through Scripture, when we think about sanctification, when we think about holiness and living a Christ-like life, the end goal really is to become less like ourselves and become more like Jesus. To be less like the old man, the old person that we're going to read a little bit about today, and become more like Christ. So today I just wanted to spend a little time talking about a few actions that we can take every day to become less like ourselves and to become more like Jesus. And our text is from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 17 through 24. And it says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard today. It says, "So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Let's pray. Lord, I just come before you, Lord, to thank you for, first of all, for being here today, and to thank you for the opportunity we have to share in your word for a little while this morning. Lord, I pray as we talk through these scriptures this morning that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would humble us, Lord, and that you would help us to learn more about you and learn how to follow you more closely each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first action I want to talk about is to recognize who the old person is. That we would recognize who the old person is. So the first several verses we read, Paul's talking about the former way that these folks in Ephesus lived. He said, "So this I say and affirm with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding," and so forth, as he said in those verses. And it's as if he's telling them, this is who you formerly were. You did not have a mind that was conformed to Jesus the way he thinks, but you had a mind that was conformed more to the world and more to the flesh. And he talks about how they walked in the futility of their mind. Their minds were darkened. They were excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. And then he made a comment. He said that they have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So not only the former way of life was one that was apart from God and apart from Christ, but it was one that they were going after with a little bit of zeal and greediness, he says. They did these things like they wanted it, and they wanted it badly. And as I thought about that, I thought a little bit about myself, and you know, do I still recognize sometimes that old man in me still wants to live? That old person is still there, that there's still tendencies that want to drag me a little bit away from Jesus and from how he would have me to live. And unfortunately, he's still there sometimes, and I think all of us could recognize that. And as we think about living our life for Christ every day, I think it's important for us to sort of look at ourselves and know what those tendencies are, and know the things that tempt us, know our weaknesses, and know what that old person, what that old man wants, to recognize who they are, so that we don't feed the old man. You know, like the guy that's the power lifter, you know, he's feeding himself to get stronger. I don't want to put things in my life that's going to let the old man live, that's going to let him get stronger, but I want to starve him out. I want to get rid of those things in my life. I don't want to give him nutrition, but I want to nourish my relationship with Jesus. There's a scripture in Galatians, I think, that's helpful. In Galatians chapter 5, and it's one that's fairly familiar, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And some of y'all, or most of you, are probably familiar with those things, but I think it's helpful as we think about the difference between getting rid of the old man and letting him live and feeding those things where we know what it causes us to walk away from Christ or to hurt our relationship with Jesus. And that's Galatians 5, verse 16 through 24. Well, it probably helped if I was in Galatians 5. There we go. Galatians 5, verse 16. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So when you read through that, you might hear some of those fleshly things, the fruit of the flesh, and you might think, man, some of those kind of speak to me. You know, sometimes when I read outbursts of anger, I was like, kind of like, ooh, you know, sometimes I might seem like a pretty calm person. Most people tell me that, and pretty soft-spoken guy, but sometimes I lose my temper, and I don't like doing that. You know, I have to recognize that's something I have to work on. But you see in the scripture, he talks about sort of this tension that we have, this fight that we have to battle every day between flesh and spirit, between feeding our old person and allowing Christ to live and to walk in the Spirit. And I talk about starving the old man, but Paul goes a step further. He says, "Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." That's a little strong, that's pretty strong language when Paul says that. That what he means is you kill the old man, get rid of him. You know, think about what crucifixion is. When Jesus was crucified, he died there on the cross. And Paul uses language like that in some other scriptures we're going to look at here in a minute. But it's important for us to think of that. We need to get rid of the old man, the fleshly things that we allow to live in our life so that we can grow in Christ. But in order to do it, we got to recognize what they are. And so that's the first action that we can take. Recognize who the old person is and find some ways to get rid of some of those tendencies. The second action is to remember the fundamentals of our faith. And so if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, Paul makes a statement after talking about not living as the Gentiles live. He says in verse 20, "But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. And so he says, you didn't learn Christ in such a way that would teach you to continue living the old way that you did. He says, you didn't learn Christ that way. And that really is one of the fundamental things we have to remember as Christians, that when we're saved, when we accept Christ as our Savior through faith, and we're saved by God's grace, that we're called to live now a new life. Not to live the old way, not to be like our old selves, but to become more and more conformed every day into the image and likeness of Christ, that we would be a reflection of Him to everyone around us. And that is a very fundamental thing we have to always keep in mind and remember. Now, often, if you want to flip there, you may. Of course, I'm not going to stop you. To John chapter 3. Of course, we all know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. One of the core scriptures of our Christian faith, where Jesus says, this is why I'm here. That God loved the world in such a way that He showed His love to the world through sending me here to die for you, so that through your faith in me, you can have everlasting life. That you don't have to worry about death anymore, because I'm bringing a new life, eternal life. But if you remember the context of that, He's talking to this Jewish fellow named Nicodemus. He's having a conversation with him, and Nicodemus came to Him to talk to Him about who He is and what was going on, because Nicodemus saw something. There's something different about this Jesus. And so in John 3, here at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus answered him, as He's talking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you keep reading, Nicodemus' mind's blown, right? What is he talking about? Born again? It says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Nicodemus says, what? That's crazy talk, being born again. But verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So everyone who is born, of the Spirit. And then they converse some more, and we come down to John 3:16. But Jesus is telling him that I'm coming to give new life, a new spiritual life, not one where he would have to think his salvation comes from the works of the law anymore, but one where he has a new birth, a spiritual birth. And that's one of the fundamental things of our faith, that we become new when we live a new life. The Apostle Paul talks some more about this in Romans. I know I have y'all doing a little scripture search today, but just bear with me a little bit. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And so previously in chapter 5, Paul's talking about this idea of salvation by grace, or through faith in Christ, and saved by grace, not by the law, not by works. And so he asks a rhetorical question. What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So we have an old life. We have, and a lot of us might have to reach back in our memory further than others to remember that. But it's still there. We have to remember that, you know, in Christ we have a new life. We walk in newness of life. And we live, as Paul says here, in the power of the resurrection of Christ. That we're buried with Him, but now risen with Him to live a new life. And so remember that fundamental of your faith every day. And I think if we do that, that'll help us to conform ourselves to Christ every day. The third action, I want to talk about simply to remember grace. To remember grace. And I want to read a little bit further into Romans chapter 6, if you don't mind, starting at verse 9. He says, "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." So, we've talked about some of these important things already, recognizing the old man, who that is, and what we need to do to get rid of him, recognizing that when we're saved, Christ does a work in our life to make us new, but we do so not under the slavery of sin anymore, but we do it under God's grace. We often think of that word grace, think of unmerited favor is the definition I use, and I've heard of a lot. And I think it is a good definition of grace because we didn't deserve for God to do what He did through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's an act of grace that we can be saved through faith. But grace also means, I think, that sin has lost its power in our lives. That we don't have to allow sin to have dominion over us anymore because Jesus, through His saving grace, has exposed the old man. He's brought it to light. Help us see that. And help us to become something new through His grace, through His love, and through His mercy in our lives every day. And grace is a very powerful thing when you think about it. That the sin that once reigned over us, the sin that once condemned us to hell for eternity, no longer has power over us. Jesus has taken it away when He was crucified on the cross. And now gives us a new life that we can live under His grace. And so sometimes when I think we consider becoming more like Christ, we might see it like a hard workout. Like, this is not something I look forward to. Or some people might even say, and this might stop them from coming to the faith, like, well, I can't have any fun anymore. Right? Man, this is going to be a boring life, you know, doing this Christian thing. But it's not. It's a good life. It's a life where we're free from the burdens that this world tend to lay on our lives. And I've been here a couple times before. Most of y'all probably know I do chaplaincy ministry full-time and part-time. Full-time in hospice and part-time in the Army Reserve. And in my hospice ministry, I come across a lot of different types of people. You know, some older than others, somewhat young. But something a lot have in common, well, they all have in common, is that they're suffering through something. Some terminal illness, whether it be cancer or whether it be Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever they're going through. They have to decide on what they're going to do with that suffering. And, you know, I can't imagine what some folks go through and talk to folks who can't do things like they want to. And that's a hard thing. You think about it. You're used to working every day, being able to do what you want, and now you're confined to a chair, you can't go anywhere. And, you know, sometimes I'll ask folks, you know, hey, what'd you do today? And just sat here all day long. And that's hard on them. They suffer through it. And some struggle with that, you know, what's God doing to me right now? But some of the most beautiful experiences I have in that ministry is to see people who love Christ so much that even though they're going through that suffering, they have peace about what they're going through, because they know that death doesn't have power over their life. Their body might be wearing out and maybe giving up on them, but they know that they have something new to look forward to, that they have the promises of God and eternal life through their faith in Christ, that they have a new body to look forward to. And to see a smile on someone's face when they talk about that, when the situation they're in, is a very powerful thing to me, and it has been a blessing to me. And so when we live under grace, that's the freedom that we have. The stuff of this world doesn't have to get us down anymore. We don't have to be anxious about tomorrow so much anymore, because we know that we have Christ in our life and He takes care of us. Our priorities even tend to shift a little bit, and some of you may have experienced that in your walk with Christ. You know, and your old man, your old person might have been concerned about making more money and, you know, getting a bigger house, getting more land, or whatever it might be. But as Christ transformed your life, and not that those things are bad in themselves, but as Christ transforms you, you start to think, you know, I'm pretty content with what I got right here. God's blessed me with what I need. I don't have to worry about those things that much anymore, because we look forward to heavenly things more so than worldly things. So when we live in grace, we live a free life. It's not one that's restrictive at all, but as Jesus said, a life that can be abundant and free. And with that, one more scripture, one more, you know, just a flip back to Galatians chapter 5, this time verse 1. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Paul says, don't give that old man any room to breathe anymore. Kill him. He's crucified with Christ. Because when you do, you're putting yourself again under a yoke of slavery instead of living in the freedom that Christ intends you to. Because it was for freedom that Christ set us free. That we'd be free from the bondage of sin and death and all those things, and be able to live a free life under His grace. So this morning we've talked about a few things that we can do every day to help us to conform to the image of Christ more and more. That we would recognize who the old person is. That we would remember some of the very fundamental things of our faith. And that we would remember the power of God's grace. And so what I would encourage us to strive together to do that every day, to become less like ourselves and become more like Christ. And when we do that, I believe you'll find that your life will get a little bit better, a little bit sweeter, a little bit more enjoyable, I think, each and every day. Not that hard things won't come, because they will. You know, you're going to suffer through things in your life. You know, bumps are going to come in the road, but when they come, you're going to be able to handle them much more freedom and much more grace in your life. And I want to close with one final scripture from the book of Romans, verses 37 through 39. It says, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So you remember that every day when that old man sticks his ugly head up in the morning when you get up, figuratively speaking, you know, not, you know, literally looking in the mirror. But just remember, I've conquered you through Christ. You don't have dominion over me anymore, but I live as a new creature created by the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and we'll close out. Lord God, I just thank you so much for this day you've given us. Lord, thankful for the opportunity I have to be here today to share a little bit from your word, and I just pray that you would help us every day as we get up to desire to live for you, Lord, to become less like ourselves and become more like you each and every day. Give us the grace we need to do this, Lord, because we can't do it without you. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us each and every day, convict us when we need it, encourage us when we need it, Lord, and pray for everyone in this church today that as they seek to follow you and to grow as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, that you will bless them all in all that they do each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.